I want to turn your attention to Mark chapter 14, 24. I almost embarrassed to read this passage of scripture to you. It's been read here even lately several times. And I won't be long this morning. I won't be long, so you can stay ready. Not ready to go, ready to receive something from the Lord. Amen. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. You ever had one thing contrary that made something else contrary? And that's what happened. The wind blew and then the waves were the problem. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. They were already in trouble, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. Wow, what else can happen out here? But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid." Wow, that's my. And Peter answered him and said, "Can't be. Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." Now this is like Hezekiah when he was going to die. He said, "Don't make the sundial go forward, make it go backwards." And he said, "Come." And Peter was come down out of the ship. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. Wow. And said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" I want to talk this morning to you about taking the first step. Taking the first step. Lord, we're thankful for this opportunity once again. Hallelujah. Lord, we've had a good service already. We've studied your word. We've magnified your name. But Lord, I don't ever want it to become a common place where we get weary in hearing your word and rejoicing in the things that you've done for us. And Lord, we ask you to bless this sermon today in our ears to understand it and apply it to our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Good to have Sister Gibson's daughter visiting with us this morning. Good to have you. Amen. Taking the first step is very difficult. Now, as a baby, we all know that you got to learn to crawl before you walk, and you got to have somebody hold your hand and so forth. But taking this first step, in our text, we find this situation that's not a coincidence. It's not a just it happened that this way or an accident that it happened. It's by divine intervention, God said, "Go to the other side." Then he meets them on this sea. And we get a glimpse. Now, this is not to just show us of Jesus walking on the water, but we get a glimpse of not only Jesus walking on the water, we get a glimpse of a man that only one I ever knew of that actually walked on the water. But we're not reading this tonight so we can magnify Peter for walking on the water, for that Jesus even belittled him and said, "Oh, ye a little faith." Where I don't know where it puts you and I, but what I want to talk to you about and glean out of these scriptures is the willingness that in the midst of trouble, I am willing to take the first step. I am willing to take the first step I've ever taken out of this boat into the water, the unknown. I'm willing to try something that I don't believe will work myself. And when we look deeper into this text, we see that Peter is already troubled. He's already troubled with the wind and the waves, and they're fearful and they're afraid and they're unsure of their own safety. They're already looking like we're going to die. This is it. This storm will take us. You see, this was a storm designed by God. Amen. This was not a usual storm. This was designed by God. And they were so fearful, being mariners. You would think, well, we rode them out like this before. We can ride this out again. But not this storm. I imagine they looked at each other and said, this time is it. We are all going to die in this storm. And as the waves and the wind are beating upon this ship vehemently, they look out and they see what looks like a mirage. Somebody is walking on the water. You know, it's always hard to see Jesus in the midst of your storm. It's always hard to understand what you're taught in private and apply it when you're in trouble. We can amen, amen, amen. Oh, yes, praise the Lord, I got that down. But in the midst of the storm, can you remember it? That's why they have fire drills, is because they don't want to tell you this is, oh, we're going to have a fire drill. Don't. This is not real. We're going to have a fire drill. You're not going to act like it's real. But if you don't know when it's coming and you don't know if it's real, then you'll react quite differently. And if you really do see smoke coming in, you may act way differently. And so sometimes we need to rehearse things and rehearse things and rehearse them so that when we finally get in the storm, we are prepared for it. And here they are in this boat and in this raging sea, and there is a figure coming across the water. And the Bible says in one account that if they would not have cried out, he would have passed them by. My Lord. Many times we preach, as preachers, we sometimes try to get people out of their comfort zone, right? How many times you heard preachers say, get out of your comfort zone. You know, you need to take a step out by faith and get out of your comfort zone. Honey, he's not in a comfort zone. You understand me? He's in a boat. There ain't nothing comfortable about it. And we do have trouble getting people out of their comfort zone. I imagine most of y'all sit in the same place every time you come. I remember one preacher, he said, I want all of y'all, before I preach, to get on this side. I want all of y'all to get on that side. So you're all too comfortable where you're at. And we do get comfortable. But Peter is not in his comfort zone. The Bible says they are troubled and they are afraid. I just believe, and this is just Marshall, but I just believe that they thought they were going to die anyway. I believe that Peter thought, I'm going to die anyway. So I might as well take a step because I'm going to die anyway. Isn't that kind of what Esau thought when he sold his birthright? Isn't that what he thought? He thought, I'm going to die anyway. What good is this? And I might as well give this birthright up. As great as it was, he was willing to give it up because he thought he was going to die anyway. People, you would never take an experimental drug if you said, well, you want to try this experimental drug? That'll take care of your problem right there. But we got this new experimental drug. Would you like to try it? Kill or cure? You're going to be, I don't think so. But when you're going to die anyway, you go, well, I might as well step out. I might as well try this for the first time. So we notice in this text that when he decides to step out, the adversity is intensified. Have you ever noticed when you finally made up your mind to live for God? You finally made up your mind, this time I'm going to live for God, this time I'm going to do something, and you meet more opposition than you were presently meeting when you decided to do that? It's almost like anytime you change, you want to change, the enemy is there to raise up the wind and to raise up the waves higher than it was when you made that decision. So that now you begin to see the wind. Oh, I'm talking to you. You begin to see the wind and the waves. You could see it when you were in the boat, but they were intensified when he decides to step out. And you and I today are walking on life's tempestuous sea. Amen. And if we're not careful, we'll decide that we're going to live for God. And right when you decide for living for God, you never had so much trouble in all your life. Soon as you decide to do something, I imagine as soon as you decided to do this thing for the ladies, there's all kinds of stuff came up. All kinds of stuff that you didn't see. The devil is a master of when you finally decide to step out to intensify the situation to make you sink. Wow, I'm telling you this from my own experience. Amen. Peter looked out at Jesus and Jesus said, "It is I, be of good cheer." Now, how in the world can you be of good cheer? I mean, I've had people in my day of trouble come up to me, "Hey, how you doing? It's going to be okay. Don't worry about it. Everything's going to be fine." I wish they'd just go away. I'm not cheery right now. I'm not really feeling like that right now. And she said, "Hey, it's okay. Y'all be of good cheer. I'm here." And they're going up and down. Peter is really somewhat in doubt. And, you know, it's interesting to me that Peter does not say, "Lord, if it's you, come get on this boat." But rather he says, "Lord, if it's you, bid me to come to you on the water." Jesus had called him before he got out of the boat, right? He was in a boat when he called him the first time. "Come follow me." But there wasn't any wind blowing. There wasn't any waves blowing. It was a little easier then. But now Peter says, "You called me out of the boat when it was calm. And I didn't have this trouble. Now, let's see if I really can follow you." Bid me like you did the first time to come unto you. And so now Peter's going to take a step out into the unknown. He's going to step from the familiar to the unfamiliar. From something that he knows in the past, this has saved him. But I believe, Sister Raynell, he thought, "I'm going to die anyway. I might as well walk to Jesus." And the Bible says that he got on the water to walk to Jesus, but when he saw the winds boisterous, he began to sink. So he did walk some, and he began to sink, and he cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately the Lord reached down and pulled him. My. What would have happened? How would this story end tonight, this morning, if Peter would not have said, "Bid me to come"? If Peter would not have walked upon the water? But because he took, and I'm trying to challenge somebody today in the fear of the Lord, to go ahead and take the first step out of the boat. And I don't know how many disciples on the boat, perhaps it says in some place, but Brother Valentine, I just kind of imagine John was saying, "You got to be crazy." Philip saying, "Are you nuts? You can't walk on the water." If that's him, I can. He wasn't sure. You have to understand this. He's walking by faith. He's not sure that's him. But he steps out on the water and begins to walk. And when he began to walk, the winds blew more boisterously. When he saw the winds blowing boisterously, he got his eyes off of what he was originally attracted to and began to sink. I want to tell you somebody something. If you don't ever step out of that boat, you will drown in that boat. you will drown in that boat. I'd rather die trying to get to him than stay in the boat and never reach him. Because as soon as he saw that Peter had put forth every effort he could and began to sink, he didn't say, well, I should have had more faith. But he reached down and immediately, that's what I like about God we serve. Some of y'all would let me sink. Well, I hope not, but some people would let you sink. See, I told you you shouldn't have done that. You just wallow in it, just suffer. But God's not that way. His compassion is greater than our compassion. And he reached down and pulled him up and saved him. Amen. And it seems like every time you get ready to now, finally, and all of a sudden you've got more problems than you ever knew you could have. There's nothing new with this. I did a little study for you about Moses and the children of Israel crossing the Red Sea. Because you see, when they got to the point where they got ready to cross the Red Sea, everything intensified. I mean, everything. The Pharaoh's behind them, the mountains on the side, and all of a sudden now those that Moses are leading are coming to him saying, what'd you do? Get us out here because there's no graves in Israel. What are you going to do? I knew we should have stayed back there. And everything intensified. And so when they began to complain to Moses, Moses went to the Lord with it and said, now, Lord, you're the one that got me out here. Help me, Lord, save me. And the Lord said, okay, take your rod and hold it out, stretch it out over the Red Sea. And when he stretched out the rod over the Red Sea, the Bible says that it parted the Red Sea. Now, here's the research that I did for you, and there's a little variance in different places that I look, but you'll get the gist of it. The Red Sea is 1,400 miles long. Okay, well, they didn't go the lengthwise, did they? Thank God, they'd still be crossing. But it is 220 miles across. In my mind, all these years, I just saw them going through a ravine, going through Barnes Creek. You know, in my mind, did you realize it was 220 miles? Me either. Sometimes it's good you go get your anatomy and history books out and go back and study, because I begin, oh my God. And that's it's wider at other places, but it averages about 200. Now, how far is it from here to Baton Rouge? Anybody know? 200 miles? Okay. So imagine walking. Come on. Let's really look at this. Imagine walking from here. Let's go, church. This way. Where are we going? To the other side. How far is it? 200 miles to BR Town. And we all start walking towards Baton Rouge. 220 miles. That ain't all. Guess how deep it is? 7,200 feet. Now we're talking about a miracle. Yeah, now we're seeing the magnitude of this miracle. 7,000. How high is a cumulus cloud? Anybody know? Well, let's say it's 7,200 feet just up. That's how deep they go into this thing. And guess what's on the side? A wall of water. Now, at 220 miles, you can't see the other side. So how did they cross? No wonder it says, by faith, Moses crossed the Red Sea. I've always looked at that, and I said, well, Lord, you opened the water. So they just walked across. Oh, no. I didn't realize that they were walking 220 miles and went down 7,000 feet, and the walls congealed and were their safety, if you will, from perishing as they walked through it. That lets me know they spent a few nights sleeping on the seafloor. Can you imagine trying to sleep and waters on each side of you? I'd have stayed awake till we got there because I was afraid the water would come back. It's by faith they crossed this Red Sea. When things intensify, God intensifies. That's what I'm trying to teach you tonight. When things intensify, so does God. For where evil is present, where evil is present, grace is much more there. And so they cross across the Red Sea, or they pass through. I like to say it that way because that's really what the Bible says. It didn't say they crossed across. They passed through the Red Sea by faith. And then they get to the other side, and you would think, well, praise God, we won't have any more trouble now. But things escalated again. When they got into the wilderness, they go, thank God we're through with them. We'll never see them again. Thank the Lord, I'm so sick of that. I'll never be a slave again. What you got to drink, Moses? It's interesting they passed through the water, but they had no water. And they get to where they have no water, and what do? The same thing again. Things begin to escalate, and now they're complaining back to Moses, and Moses is talking to the Lord. And once again, I'm trying to help somebody. God always has an answer for every escalated problem you have. Hallelujah. Anybody ever had people throw stuff in your face before? I have. And they were throwing it in his face. Would to God we'd have died over there. I told you, you old man, what did you get us over here for? Garlic and onions is better than nothing. And they were throwing it in Moses' face. And Moses just said, here you go, Lord. They're not my kids. I didn't have all these kids. They're your kids. They're not my kids. You tend to them. He said, well, I want you to speak to or strike the rock. And out of that rock, see, God's got a miracle for every time that you feel like you're trapped and every time you feel like it won't work. God said, take that rod and strike a rock. You've got to be kidding me. He struck a rock and water came out of that rock. Not only did he water a million people, but all their cattle. Now, a cow can drink more than you. He watered all their cattle and everything out of that one rock. I'm trying to preach to you this morning that when you get into a situation where you have finally taken a step out, don't go back. Don't go back. Don't go back. Don't think of going back. Start looking up, for your Redeemer liveth. Hallelujah. Start looking higher than you. Start quit looking around you and look up for Him. Hallelujah. He's always got an answer for every problem that you go through. As they come this morning, the devil always seems to intensify. I can't tell you how many. There's people that should be here this morning that I know my mom's teaching and some of you others are working with. And you know why they're not here? Because the heat has been intensified. When the three Hebrew children said, we're not going to bow down to your God, what did the king do? Intensified the fire. And it slew those that were trying to get them in. If you're ever going to live for God, my brothers and sisters, reverse is not a gear. Turning around is not an option. Stopping and going back is not an option. Peter said, I'm going for it this time. I'm going to die anyway, okay? So I had might as well step out of this and into that. Because I want to tell you where Christ was in the storm. I want to tell you where he was in the fire. I want to tell you where he is today. Your way of escape is through him. It's through him. When we read the rest of this story, Matthew 14, 32, Peter had cried out and said, Lord, save me. That's what I like about God. He's just as immediate as he wants you to be. Did you hear that statement? He's just as immediate as he wants you to be. Lord, if that's you, bid me to come. He said, come on. Well, let me think about that a while. What do y'all think? He stepped out immediately too. And because he immediately trusted the Lord immediately saved him. Verse 32, and when they, everybody say they. I like that. It was the they now. And when they were come into the ship, now it's Jesus and Peter. It's not Peter alone, and it's not just Jesus, it's they. They walked back into the ship. Guess what happened? The wind ceased. Woo! And they that were in the ship came and worshiped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Ooh, one man dared to step out, and it saved the rest of them. One man said, I'm stepping out. We're going to die anyway. Y'all can stay here. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to church. We're going to live for God. We're going to pay our tithes. We're going to work in the church. You say, well, it'll never work. Well, I'll die trying because I'm going to die anyway. As you stand this morning, I wish that there'd be somebody as you bow your heads across this congregation. I just hope this morning that I'm reaching somebody that realizes that it's time for you to step out. Well, it's a little too rough for me right now, Brother Bagg. No, 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 no. You can't wait till it calms down. Let me tell you this. Peter stepped out while the winds were raising boisterous and the waves were beating. Jesus pulls him out of the water. And guess what he returned to him? The boat he got out of. Somebody said, I'm afraid to get out because I'm going to lose this. I may lose this person. I may lose this thing. If I decide to live for God, I'm going to lose my job. Guess what he returned to them? The thing he walked out of. He returned it peaceably unto them. Hallelujah. I wish all of us would just take an exit from that pew and make that step. Once you make one step, you can make the second step. Hallelujah. Lord, I'm not through stepping either. Your pastor's not through. I got lots of steps left. Take a step into the unknown. Lord, we're fixing to go into a building program and to build a child. I've never been this way before. I've never done this before. Hallelujah. Take a step. Thank you, Jesus. Take another step. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Raise your hands right there where you're at, somebody. Say, Lord, I'm going to commit myself to your will and to your way, God. Hallelujah. I can't stay in this boat. I'll sink in this boat. I'll die like this. But Lord, if that's you, bid me to come, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh God, save me, Jesus. Save me, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now is the moment. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.